BBC Radio Berkshire, that's the beautiful south and Rotterdam. Now, I've been speaking all morning to Bob Early from Reading, who, as I'm explaining to you, or he's explaining to you, has had quite a life. I can't believe Bob is actually 98 years old right now. He served in World War II. He was telling us about that covert operation in Germany, identifying Nazi war criminals, and then becoming Mr. Gadget and building all sorts of amazing things for BBC television studios and becoming part of that first televising of the 1955 general election campaign. But Bob, you threw in, as though it was just one of those sort of things that happened to you, the fact that it was dangerous, some of your wartime exploits, and at one point you were nearly thrown into the furnace?
Yes, it was rather frightening, really.
Paint me the picture. What was happening?
Well, it's a large factory employing about 300 people, and they used to make the V2 warheads before the war. And then as soon as the war ended, they had an enormous amount of steel over, so they were doing kitchen utensils.
Yeah.
And there was lots of different sections in the factory, and one was the furnace room. And I had access to the whole factory, and I had to go through to the furnace room, and then there's a massive great furnace with a door about 6 foot round, and I was invited by the band that run it to come and have a look at the instruments and all that. I was going up the steps and got about two foot from the open door where all the heat was coming out, when a man came into the Fritz Kohlhut, came into another door and shouted, "No, Bob!" And I realised something was wrong. So I came down, and then I found out afterwards that, that the place was used to exterminate people.
Really?
Quite a lot of people were thrown in the furnace. During the war,
yes, I suppose
and,
so.
And one or two afterwards, soon after the war as well.
My goodness. So
that was a very dangerous.
Very dangerous period. Maybe more dangerous than you even appreciated at the time.
Yes, I didn't realise. I should have known better, actually, because there were lots of other dangers. And I was shot at once as well.
Where was that?
Another time someone produced a dagger. Yeah, there was quite a few difficult things. And yet I didn't realise how dangerous it was, really, until we came away.
Yes, until afterwards, when you reflected on it.
The regiment moved down to that area, yes. And then I was free then.
Yes.
And so then I ended up in Trieste, by the way, where the Yugoslav troubles.
Yes, that's right. So, do you have a photographic memory? Because the way you tell your stories, you remember all the names, you remember details.
Yeah.
I think you must have a photographic
memory.
Well,
I'm extremely unfortunate in that respect. My memory is very good. Mm. That's why I'm able to write, of course.
Well, exactly. I mean, as at the age of 93 odd, you decided to learn how to use a computer.
Well, I was coming towards the end of my second book, More Early Memories, when I realised my sight was going, and of course that was a terrible thing. That was really, I was sorry for myself, and then I got in touch with Blind Veterans UK. My word, that made a difference to my life. And then went there for a week, and then they assess you to see what they can do for you. And they said, "All we can do for you is to teach you to touch sight." I said, "Well, at my age, I'd never learn anything like that," But I was wrong, and they were right, and
They taught me to touch type
with the aid of a computer, a special computer.
Yeah.
And while I was there on the course, my son was made one of the bedrooms into a computer room, redecorated, put a desk in and everything. And Blind Veterans UK sent all the equipment there. Now I've got a room about half the size.
That's your office, and you're still writing.
And I can sit in there and write and... touch away.
So when you touch type,
that means
you can compose at the keyboard. How do you know what you're typing there? Does it read back to you?
It does, but because it comes up in letters actually, about 3 or 4 inches high.
And you can read those. Can
I put my face right near? I can see it.
Yeah.
Because it was also talk as well.
Well, they can now.
It talks as well.
Exactly.
It's wonderful, really.
So, Blind Veterans UK have helped you. Let's get, just in case anyone's listening, actually, grab a pencil. Just in case you want to find out more about them, then they can help you in a sort of similar way that they were able to help Bob. I love the email address, actually. It's www.noonealone.org. UK, all one word, no one alone. And clearly they've been tremendous help to you.
Very big help. In fact, that's very good, really, because No One Alone is a good title. Because
it is, isn't it?
You do feel alone. When your sight's gone, particularly at the beginning, I've got a wonderful family. They're very good to me. But the point is, with losing your sight, you feel as if you are on your own.
Yes.
And then, of course, blind veterans make all that difference. I mean, when I went in that first week, I was amazed at the what went on there at Ovaldine in Brighton.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing what went on there. And all the staff are extremely caring. The rooms are very good, as good as a first-class hotel.
Sounds wonderful.
You know, with a large ensuite and everything. And the food, well, everyone talks about the food there. It's exceptionally good. I think you have five.
There's all the important things in life.
Yes.
But I understand what you mean, the panicky feeling you must get when you realise
your
sight is going.
That's right, yes.
Because that's how most of us access the world, isn't it?
Yes.
And to actually be shown that there are other ways, and there are lots of gadgets and gizmos, and of course you are Mr. Gadget. There are lots of gadgets and gizmos now that can help.
Yes, there are, yes, that's quite true.
Enhance life.
But you've got to be told about it,
yes.
You see? And Blind Veterans UK tell you about it. And they show you what's available. And not only that, they teach you, you know.
Yeah.
You can learn practically anything.
You're on your third book now, are you? Two books have been autobiographies. Mm. I love that. When you meet somebody who's had a very full life when they've actually written two autobiographies. What was the third book about?
The first one, The 4 Years in the War.
Yeah.
That was the first one. I will remember. The second one was More Early Memories.
Yeah, very good title.
And then after the first one, I had a gap where I produced in my second poetry book. I had to go to Washington to pick up an award. I was Poet of the Year in 1999. That's another story.
That really is.
Come on another programme
and
I'll tell you all about it.
Well, I think you should have a radio programme of your own, actually.
Had a wonderful time in Washington.
Oh, you mean Washington in the United States?
Yes, Washington in the United States. That's fantastic.
Mm.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I could talk to you all morning. I'm not allowed to, sadly, but I do think you should have a radio programme all of your own. But for the moment, thank you very much for coming in today. Let's give everybody the details there of the Blind Veterans UK, just in case anyone's listening at the moment who might find it as useful as Bob. That's the Blind Veterans UK. That's what they're called, and obviously you could just Google them. The email address is, or rather the website address, is noonealone.org.uk. noonealone.org.uk. And if you're into old-fashioned telephone numbers, it's 0800 389 7979. Bob, thank you very much indeed.